He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as You help us by Your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. I want to preach to you a little while this morning, if you would, on the greatest accomplishment. I'm sorry for my text. It didn't look quite like that on the computer. The greatest accomplishment. Not a single person in this room is exempt from discomfort. We know that. We're that smart, aren't we? We felt the pain. We've known the agony. We've experienced the distress. In one form or another, we are all discomforted at some point and some time. Often the older we get, it seems the more often the discomfort comes. Suffering can come in many, many ways. Suffering can come physically. It can come to us mentally and also come to us emotionally. So why does God, we're Christians, okay? If you're saved, you're a son or a daughter of God. So why does God let discomfort come our way? Why does He allow that? What in the world? If He's such a good God, why does He let that happen to us? And how do we navigate through discomforts, if you would? The first thing I want you to think about this morning is the suffering that we have as believers in Jesus Christ, and that's why I love the Apostle Paul so much, is because of all that he suffered. But we have to realize in this life, suffering is not really about us. Now, I know that in our minds, it indeed is. It's in our minds that we want, and as been many years as a pastor, and I will say this church is a very unique church, okay? Having pastored in some of the localities that I pastored in before coming here to Bluewell, I would have people that would walk up to me and they would say, "Well, I've been sick all week and I haven't heard a word from you. Where's my pastor when I need him?" I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were sick." "Well, you should, it was on Facebook." Yeah. Even pastors don't see everything that's on Facebook. Some things they wish they had never seen. Okay. But this is a very unique church because I can frankly say in almost 10 years, I've never heard that out of this church. In fact, some of you can be in the hospital and been through this and that and the other thing and all kind of near death and been through surgery. And I found out later you've been in the hospital, and I say, "Well, I wish somebody would told me." They said, "Well, if I'd have needed you, I'd have called." That sometimes hurts my feelings. No, but really, my point is, when we're feeling discomforted, when we're feeling hurt, when we're feeling the pains of life, all of us like a little bit of attention somewhere along the line, okay? But suffering is really not about us. When I read these scriptures and I read what Paul has written to the church there at Corinth, suffering is not about us, but suffering comes, and suffering, if you would, is a developmental process that, if you would, enables us to be able to help others. There's an old American Indian proverb that says, not a biblical proverb or a proverb of Solomon. This is an old American Indian proverb that says, to understand the man, you must first walk a million miles in his moccasins. Okay? Until you've had the moccasins on, you don't know what it's like. A number of years ago, and I apologize that I break it up so often, but it's the most traumatic thing I've been through in my life. But many years ago, when my first wife passed away, and it's the largest, and John and Millie, I think, were actually there, it's the largest funeral ever conducted in Wythe County, Virginia. And people stood in line 3 hours to just come through the viewing line. And it was cold and it was, and I appreciated that so much. But you know, there's one lady, all of those hundreds, there was hundreds and hundreds. Actually over 1,000 people came through that reception, that viewing line that night. But there's one lady, and I don't have a clue who she was, but there was one lady that I remember distinctly, probably above anybody else. And it was that lady that come up to me and she said, "Brother, I'm so sorry. I know what you're going through. My little chihuahua died about a month ago." Okay, I know, I understand, I fully understand. I've had dogs I've had to put down and I've had pets that have died. I fully understand losing a pet. But you're telling me that my wife that died suddenly after 25 years of marriage, and you're comparing my wife of 25 years to your chihuahua, your dog that ate dog food, my wife that ate steak and potatoes and you know, but in her mind, she thought, "I know what you're going through," but in reality, she did not know what I was going through. And in my instance, I would probably have done the same stupid stuff by going up and saying to people, "I know what you're going through," when I haven't walked in their moccasins. So you see, when we go through things, God uses them for our advantage. I can't look at Matt back there and say, "Matt, I know what you're going through, man. I've been there." Because, "Matt, I haven't been there yet, but my heart goes out to you and my faith goes out to you." I can't look at some of the rest of you, you know, that's gone through different things physically, emotionally, in your marriages, and say, and perhaps say that I know what you're going through because I haven't been there. But when somebody that has been in your moccasin speaks to you, it makes all the difference in the world. It changes everything. It's not so much about the affliction. For in the moment, the affliction, it doesn't really matter if it's a paper cut or if you broke your leg. What makes the difference is when it's you or me. The circumstances suddenly become different when it's you and I. What I'm getting at is we can sit back and sometimes we can say, "Well, it just looks like they would get over it and move on." You may be saying that because you've never been in the circumstance that they've been in. Until you walk that million miles in their moccasins, you really don't understand. But if we allow difficult experiences, will form us into people of empathy. Empathy is different than sympathy. Empathy is the being aware of and the sharing another's feelings, experiences, and emotions. Now, Jesus was tempted in every way, in like manner, such as we are. Jesus understands any and everything we're going through. But I'm a pastor, but I don't understand everything that some of you are going through. Okay? Now, I pray for you, and we try to console you and comfort you, but I can't even say, I've seen a lot over the years, but I can't say I know exactly what you're going through. But there's somebody in life that has been where you've been, and that somebody can speak into your life if you will let them. But on the flip side of this coin, some of you have been through stuff. You've been through battles. You've been through war. You've almost been to hell and back. And you've went through things. And don't just consider that and take it lightly. Because God allowed you to go through what you have gone through or what you're going through, that you may speak and you may help somebody else along the way if you allow. You know, it's not about a preacher getting up preaching necessarily. It's not about a praise team getting up and praising and worshiping and singing. You know, we look at those things and we sort of idolize them sometimes. But listen, God wants you to take your experience and reach out and touch other lives with what He has brought you through. So you begin to be able to empathize, and we become people of empathy. Well, why all this? Why? In order that Christ may be glorified. That's a simple answer. That Christ may be glorified. Because when we exercise empathy, when we take what we have been through, when we take every valley and we take every mountain and we take everything in between that we have been through and we begin to use it to minister into the lives of others, what happens? It reminds me of that song. I can't remember now who it was. Third day, if we are the body. Was that third day? Casting crowns. When we become like that song, if we are the body, why aren't our hands reaching? Why aren't our eyes seeing? Why isn't our feet going? Listen, when we take the trials and the troubles and the tribulations of life that we have went through, listen, if Moses had never crossed the sea, he wouldn't have had a story to tell, would he? If he had had a helicopter and just rode a helicopter over, and if it was commonplace, that would be no story to tell. But it's when God parts the waters in our lives. It's when we speak to the mountain and the mountain is cast into the sea. It's when the miraculous things of God, even though they may not seem so miraculous, like the song, even though we might not see them, He's working. Feel them, He's working. They may not be stupendous and miraculous in the sight of man or even in our own sight, but it's when we know God has shown up and He has worked in our life that we begin to use that and impart it to other people that we may help them see Jesus through us. Because let me tell you, if God has done it for me, He's going to do it for you. And if He does it for you, He's going to do it for me. So take what God has allowed you to experience and begin to share it. You see, it's in those hard times, those difficult times that we can glorify God. You see, in essence, you remember a few weeks ago, I preached about Thomas. And Thomas says, Lord, I'm not going to believe unless I see the scars in your hands. I don't believe unless I can thrust my hand in your side. And we called him Doubting Thomas. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people looking for evidence. There's a lot of people looking. And I'm saying this in a figurative term, not in a literal term. But when we take the hardships and the trials that we have gone through in our life, what we in essence are doing, we are showing our scars. We are showing the hands and feet of Jesus. Whenever, you know, I've been to hell and back. I've been through torment. I've been, you know, everything that could happen has happened to me, but yet you can still say God is faithful and God has been good to me. We are displaying those scars and we're encouraging people that God is that kind of God. And John wrote it this way in chapter 12 and verse 32. He said when Jesus said this, John recorded it, that when Christ is lifted up, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. You see, understand that, and I realize fully he's talking about when he's lifted up between heaven and earth on the cross. But whenever we lift up Jesus, whenever we lift his name on high, whenever we suspend him above all of the difficulties and the trials and the problems of our life, when we raise up Jesus before those that are our peers and our friends and even our enemies, Christ is being lifted up and he certainly will draw people to him. We must always trust God's abiding presence. That's an act of faith. Faith and trust are not exactly synonymous, but they're close kin. John 3 and 8 paraphrase this. Or this is a paraphrase for him. He said, we can't see the wind, but we know where it comes from. We can't see where it's going, but we're confident it's there. You know, I'll say to myself, especially this, I think this is the windiest place on the place of the earth, right here on top of this hill. And during the week, I'll be there in the church office and I'll be looking out and I may be talking with my wife on the phone. And I said, man, you should see the wind blowing up here. And quite honestly, I'm guilty. That's dumber than dirt. Because you can't see the wind blowing. Look out there right now. Wind's blowing. You can't see the wind blowing. But what you see is the effects of the wind. The wind is invisible. The wind is undetectable other than you could feel it maybe. But the wind is, you just see the effects of it. You realize when we begin to operate in faith and we begin to share what Jesus has done for us and how Jesus has blessed us, what He's brought us through, where we've been to and now where we're at today. Listen, we just exercise faith and we begin to share faith. Listen, I can't see the wind, but I know it's there. I see the effects of the wind blowing the flags. I see the effects of the wind bending the trees and waving the leaves, but I know it's there. Faith will bring us to a place in God where we can share Him and know that He's real. If hard times were in our future, there would be no need for, have been no need for the Lord to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here. He's the abiding presence of the Lord. Allow your trial, allow in your difficulty, allow in your hardship, allow in all of your disappointments, allow yourself to experience the Holy Ghost. We talked about the Holy Ghost in life group this morning and all the different administrations that He feels. But He's the comforter even more when we press on. When our feet are sore and our back is laden heavy and we just think like we can't get one foot in front of another. We've run the longest race in the world but we're 50 yards from the finish line. Why are people giving up? It's no time to give up. It's no time to quit. It's a time to keep pressing on. And oftentimes we find so many that quit with the finish line in sight. And the finish line is indeed in sight for everybody in this room this morning. One of the worst mistakes we can make in times of difficulty is withdrawing from the presence of God. One of the worst mistakes we can make, I'll just give you a few of them. One of the worst mistakes people make when difficult times come is they stop praying. Don't stop praying. When trouble comes, when difficult time comes, and God's developing you, and God's molding you, and God's shaping you, don't stop reading the Word of God. Don't stop, even if you listen to audio books, don't separate yourself from the Word of God. Pray and read the Word of God. Seek the Word of God. And I don't throw this in for good measure. When difficult times come, when your wife's left you, your husband's left you, your dog just got run over, the kids are all sick, you've got a cancer diagnosis, whatever it is that can happen to you, let me say this to you. Do not quit church. Church is not your salvation. I understand that. Church is not, does not, you can come to church and you can be as lost as anything there is in the world. But the reality of it is that the Lord created the church. We are the body of Christ. We come to strengthen ourselves. We draw strength from one another. We encourage one another. And it is meant for us to empathize with one another. That's why I still love the slogan that we pinned on this church a number of years back, that we are a family of Christ believers that are doing life together. We are to help one another and share with each other the experiences of life. And you can be strong for me where I'm weak, and I can be strong for you where you are weak. But we work to help each other along the way. And that is exactly what Paul is getting at in this portion of his letter. Every single one of us in this room, and I'm scanning here because I don't have enough time to get all this in this morning. But every single one of us in this room, we should have an expectancy. If we are committing ourselves to the Lord, we should have an expectancy of God's favor. Now, favor doesn't mean that you don't get everything you want. Favor doesn't mean that everything is going to happen just like you want it to happen. But when I read David's Psalm, Psalm 5 and 12, he said, "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." When I read Matthew 7 and 11, I find there that God has great things for us. Because there it says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" See, God's got good intentions for us. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have to walk through the fire. It doesn't mean that we're not going to get thrown into the lion's den. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be shipwrecked while at sea. He didn't say that. But what the Bible does say, if God be for me, who then can be against me? When God's favor is on our side, all is well. That little Shulamite woman so often, she was out working in the field and her son died in her arms. The son that God had given her, a son, a promise, if you would. And that son died in her arms. He was dead, and she makes her way back to the man of God, which was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And he says to his servant, "Go ask the woman if everything's okay." And the servant runs out, and the servant said, "Is all well?" She said, "It is well." Man, are you crazy? Her son is laying back there in the field dead. She's saying it is all well. It's because she understood that she was under the favor of God. And even though circumstances look bad, she never lost sight that the favor of God is a covering over her that will keep her and protect her. Let me tell you what. Things may look bad in your life. Things may look difficult in my life. And at different times it may seem hopeless and it may seem all in vain. But let me tell you something. If we have dedicated our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, it is all well. All is well in spite of what my circumstance looks like. Ben, turn that clock around so I can't see it. No, I'm just kidding. Listen. And in all this, I want to share, how do we deal with, number one, we expect God's favor. Number two, praise is necessary. Praise is necessary. When you go back and you read verse 3 of the scriptures that I shared in text with you, when you go back and you read verse 3, the first thing that we find in verse 3 is, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Praise is necessary. Man, in all things, praise the Lord. When I tried to, and then, listen, going back to one of my earlier points. When I tried to mow the yard the other day, the tire went flat on the John Deere. Then I threw the belt off the John Deere, not once, but three times. The third time, it cut the belt. I broke the belt. When everything else could go wrong, that seemingly possibly could go wrong. Now, I know that don't sound too important to you, but that's because it wasn't you, it was me. You get my point? I was having a bad hair day. But the reality of it is, it was important to me. I was struggling. I was frustrated. But God's working all things together for good. And then yesterday morning, it's this charity ride for this little girl that has some kind of blood disease, some kind of blood disorder. Been planning on riding a motorcycle, for those of you that don't know my circumstance. Riding a motorcycle, going with the Harley owners group. We're all going to go down there in a group. There was, ended up being over 150 bikes in this big ride yesterday, but one of them wasn't mine. Cause I went out, got up early, left Sarah in bed. I got up early, went out and wiped it down, had it all shined, Matilda all shined up, put on all my gear. It was cold yesterday morning. I put on my helmet, had my gloves on, backed it out of the garage, turned the button. All the gauges flew over just like they're supposed to. The lights came on and I hit the starter button and it went click and everything is dead. You know what? I got for a minute I got frustrated. But then I said, Lord, must have been a reason you didn't want me to ride down there today. That reason did cost me a $129 battery, but I believe the Lord's going to supply the need. He already has. But just maybe, I don't know, and I can't explain, there wasn't a wreck that I know of or anything happened, but then again, I rode down in my car, but I didn't ride on the ride. But for whatever reason, Lord, maybe, just maybe you didn't want me to be on that motorcycle today. I have faith and confidence that He knows what's best for me. And He also knows what's best for you. Okay? I'm trying to finish up here. Paul knew suffering more than and better than any of us in this room will probably ever know it. Paul recites elsewhere in Scripture that he was beaten. When he was beaten, he was praised. When he was stoned, he was praised. When he shipwrecked, he praised. When he was imprisoned, he praised. Paul didn't praise because of the circumstances themselves, but rather Paul praised because Christ is faithful in sufferings as well as He is in good times. And to suffer with or to suffer for Christ is one of the greatest honors that any of us can pay. So you and I, one of my favorite songs of all time, and it goes back into, well, it's actually crossed over. It's not just Southern gospel. It's in contemporary music. But a guy out in Kentucky, his name was Gerald Crabb, and Gerald Crabb wrote a song that says, Through the Fire. Mm-hmm. He never promised the cross would not get heavy. I would play it, but if I play it, we're going to get bumped off of Facebook. Maybe I'll play it after service. But listen. It's through the difficulties. It's through the fiery trials that we learn and Christ teaches us to help one another. It's in the middle of suffering that we come to know Jesus in a deeper way. But not only do we get to know Jesus in a deeper way, it's through suffering that we draw closer to our fellow believers. Again, some of y'all have been through stuff that I haven't been. I shared the worst trauma of my life was going through spousal loss. But some of you have been through cancer. Some of you have been through divorce. Some of you has been through your child becoming addicted to drugs. Some of you have been through financial disaster. You maybe lost everything you had. So, you know, I could go, and there's probably things that don't even enter my imagination that some of you all have been through. Some of you maybe were abused as a child. Some of you maybe were molested as a child. I can't relate to those things because I've never been to them. I can pray for you and I can try to understand, but I really don't understand because I haven't been there. But when I look around and I see Gwen back there lost her husband a few months ago. Where's Suzanne? Is Suzanne still here? Yeah, there's Suzanne. Suzanne lost Bernard a few years ago. And I look around and I see others in this room that have lost their spouse. Their spouse has passed away. I can look at those people and I can say, I do understand how you feel. I can look at those people and say, I do realize what you're going through as you go through these different phases of your life. And as much as it wasn't pleasant for me and I didn't like it and I don't want to go through it again. I told Sarah, I'm dying first. She's going to outlive me. I'm not going through it a second time. But the reality of it is, somewhere in the midst of the tragedy, there's a gift. A gift that I can give to somebody else. Somewhere in the midst of your tragedy, there is a gift. There's a gift that you can impart to somebody else. The most admired achievements in life are not found in sports. Lord, we serve the God of sports. I like them, but we have become, it has become an idol God to this nation. Our greatest admired achievements are not acquired in sports, in careers, and such as that. But our greatest achievement is found in making a difference in the life of others. That is the greatest accomplishment that we can find. That's the greatest accomplishment we can have, is the reaching of souls. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30 in the King James wording says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The greatest thing that I can accomplish is not how much money I have in the bank when I die. It's not how many countries that I can travel to. It's not how many songs I can record and play on the instrument. It's not what kind of Harley Davidson I can own. It has nothing to do with anything. The greatest accomplishment that I can make in life is how I touch the lives of somebody else for the kingdom of God. So trials will come, trials will go, but God is faithful through them all. God, let what I've went through make a difference in somebody else's life. I hope that you do the same thing, because if we all do that together, then we have become world changers. Amen. I just want you to bow your heads for me for a minute. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and I just want to ask you a question. First and most important question that I can ever ask in a service is, are you saved? Have you been born again? Have you surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus? I'm not going to pressure you, I'm not going to call you out, and I'm not going to ask you to come or anything like that. But I just want to know here in this room this morning, if you've never been saved, if you've never surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus, would you slip up your hand for me real quickly and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. Nobody's looking around. Anybody in this room? Is there anybody in this room say, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've drifted, and I realize I need to rededicate my life to the Lord this morning. Is there anybody that can identify with that? Would you slip your hand up real quickly? Well, just maybe there's somebody in this room that could say, Pastor, I don't understand why I've had to go through what I've went through. I have nearly been to hell and back, and I don't understand why had to go through what I'm going through. Would you slip your hand up in all honesty and say, just pray for me, because I don't understand. Thank you. Thank you. A number of hands went up all over this room. This is what I want to ask you to do. I want everybody in this room to stand with me for just a moment. And we're going to pray. And we're going to pray especially for those that raised your hand. There may be others in this room that were hesitant to raise your hand. But those of you that did raise your hand, and you know who you are, I want you to know this. God will use your trial for His glory if you will allow Him to. But we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you that you will have that faith. You'll have that faith and you allow God to use you. So if you didn't raise your hand, I want you to pray for those that did. Okay? If you raised your hand, I want you to pray for yourself as we pray for you. Father, as we come before you today, I thank you, Lord, for the hands that were raised in this room. I just believe that today, Lord, you are touching the hearts and lives of every man and woman in this room that raised a hand today. God, we've all been through stuff. We're all trying to process. God, we're just trying to plow our way through. But I pray that today, God, that we will see, Lord, faith arise in these people, Lord, that have lifted their hands. They will realize their suffering is not in vain. Lord, the torture that they've been through has not been without cause and without reason. Because, God, if they surrender to You, Lord, everything, You will use them to be life changers. You will use them to mold and shape and touch the lives of other people. God, let everything, let us recognize today that everything that we have been through, everything that we will go through, everything that we experience in life, let us experience for the glory of God. Lord, I don't find suffering pleasant. I don't enjoy it, Lord. But I do want to serve You, and I do want to glorify You. So, Lord, whether I find myself shipwrecked or imprisoned or whatever the case may be, let me bear the witness like Paul bore. Let me have the witness of the apostle that I praise You in all things. I worship You in all things. And I will use the trials of my life to touch somebody else's life. And Lord, I pray that You will encourage those that slipped their hands up this morning. I pray that they will see that You are the way maker, and You, Lord, You will never let them down if they will just trust in You. Even through the fire, Lord, You were there. Even in walking through that lion's den, You were there. Even as John was placed on an island of snakes, You were there. God, we'll never find a place, Lord, that we will walk without You if we'll just simply trust You. So today, Lord, I must admit, I don't enjoy the trials. But yet, Lord, I thank You for them, because they have made me Your servant. They've made me to be able to be Your hands and Your arms, Your eyes and Your feet. So thank You, Lord, for the valley. And Lord, let my life, the trials of my life, be the greatest accomplishment as I touch the lives of others. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can you give Jesus a hand? Not me. Can you give Jesus a hand clap of praise? He is so good. You can be seated for just a moment.